Hello and welcome to Texas Scribes. This program features the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. Today we'll be hearing an excerpt from Go Down Looking, a novel by Jim Ainsworth of Commerce, Texas. It's the story of Jake Rivers, a young man whose search for self leads him across rural Texas. Go Down Looking by Jim Ainsworth, read by the author.
In the years after his death, I often had the feeling that he was looking over my shoulder, whispering in my ear. Time lessened that feeling until it finally disappeared, but it has returned of late. When the feeling returned, I was surprised to see that he had grown old with me. Is there something he wants me to know about the way he died, about the way he lived? Does he want me to learn something from a tragedy that seemed senseless then and now? And then there was the song. I removed the crumpled sheet from my pocket and read the words again. There was clearly a message here. Goodbye dreams, hello regrets, my final sun to set. A premonition? A death wish? If he knew, how did he know? And had he known how he was going to die? Or did he just keep doing dangerous things, pushing the envelope, just sure that his luck would run out? I don't believe any of that. He had his deep mood swings, but he loved life too much to end it voluntarily, and life loved him back. He certainly hastened death by taking chances, but he was defying it, not inviting it. He challenged death, wanting to defeat it, but found himself fragile in the end, just as we are all fragile in the face of death. His song was not about despair, but was his attempt to triumph over it, to reconnect with his son, to forever stamp him with his memory so that he could seek forgiveness and continue to live through him. His death undeniably changed my life almost as much as his living. The changes helped me deal with the loss instead of using it as a crutch. Mortality slapped me in the face that day and every day for months afterward. The slaps were sharp and stinging. Then mortality became a distinct personage and a regular traveler on my shoulder. He was heavy at first, but then he grew lighter with time, even lifting me up on those occasions when I wanted to bend with the weight of living. Having mortality there caused me to make better decisions, to take chances I might not have taken without his constant reminders that life is often short and always fragile. Have I taken the best advantage of lessons I learned from the lives and deaths of my grandfather, my father, and two brothers before I was 30? No. I was a skeptic, a slow learner, a doubter. I came to believe that their deaths were just tragedies or plain bad luck. Others had suffered worse, after all. And what had happened to the river's flow, that high plane of experience my ancestors had told stories about? The deaths seemed to dispel that legend. But hadn't I experienced the flow one dusty night on a baseball diamond and later in roping arenas? Yes, I had, and several more times as a child and as an adult. I just took those experiences for granted and went on living without even trying to learn how I could bring about new flow experiences or use them to better myself or others. Skepticism is poor kindling to start a fire in the belly. Like a lot of folks, I looked for help only when life began to unravel, not when things were going well. Worse, when I was blessed, I did not express my gratitude. Getting kicked around a little can be a good thing, I guess. It was during one of those kicked-around occasions that I decided to ask for help to try and find the flow again and finally understand it. It didn't come with thunder and lightning or as an immediate epiphany. It took hard work, lots of mentoring, lots of reading, lots of listening, and a lot of blind alleys, disappointments, and confusion. Mostly, it took commitment. Lights finally began to come on, and I knew I was being guided. One of the lights was a book called Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. In its pages, I found reasons to believe again. Things that I had learned began to make sense. The legend became scientific fact. Papa Griff and Rance became wiser. I think I understood that flow was not just a gift for the rivers, but a God-given gift for anyone who would take it. I even found Papa Griff's words in a recent book called Life After Death, The Evidence. My grandfather said, "Flow is the difference between the way things are and the way they ought to be." The book says this: we humans inhabit two domains, the way things are and the way things ought to be. While the universe is externally moved by facts, we are internally moved also by values. Yet these values defy natural and scientific explanation because physical laws, as discovered by science, concern only the way things are and not the way they ought to be. Flow is a mysterious power that many experience but nobody can explain. If you believe in it, no explanation is necessary. If you don't, no explanation is possible. And what about hearing the music? Papa Griff's final plea. My grandfather, I believe, was trying to tell us to listen, to try to hear, to learn to be calm, to seek serenity and inner peace, the flow. He believed that we are always on the precipice, the rim of life. And if we can't hear the music when it is most needed, we risk falling into the abyss. More than 150 years ago, clergyman and transcendentalist William Henry Channing described the slower, relaxed life as his symphony. To live content with small means, to seek elegance rather than luxury and refinement, rather than fashion. To be worthy, not respectable and wealthy, not rich. To study hard, to think quickly. To study hard, to think quietly, act frankly, talk gently, await occasions, hurry never. In a word, to let the spiritual, unbidden and unconscious, grow up through the common. This is my symphony. In Griffin River's words, hear the music.
You've been listening to Jim Ainsworth of Commerce, Texas, reading an excerpt from his 2012 novel, Go Down Looking. This program is Texas Scribes, a weekly show featuring the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. You can hear previous episodes of Texas Scribes online at ketr.org.